Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks so much for joining us on this Saturday at CCO. Long holiday weekend, Memorial Day. Right now, we're pleased to be joined by Brian Keene from K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the greater Twin Cities area and the greater Rochester area. And, Brian, good to visit with you. We typically talk summertime, wintertime, and we got a heat wave brewing right now for the area.
Oh, we sure do. The phone's ringing off the hook.
I can imagine. And, you know, Brian, we visit, and it's always good leading into heating season in the fall when things start to cool down is to get that furnace checked out. And then your advice in the springtime before it gets real hot, have that air conditioning serviced. And the folks that didn't are now in trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a great idea to call ahead in the spring if possible. And unfortunately, this year, that didn't leave a lot of time for people to call.
All right, and I'm sure it's that old adage in the ag community, you make hay while the sun is shining, and I suppose your guys are busy even on a holiday weekend getting that air up and running.
Oh, yeah, today it's all hands on deck. Everybody's working overtime. I don't think the guys are all the way tired yet, but they're starting to feel it, that's for sure.
All right, let's start with the basics. Number one, we talk about it, summer or winter filters. Big, big deal, aren't they?
Yeah. Filters are our number one reason that people end up calling because they don't have heating or cooling. It's the highest maintenance item. The biggest thing with filters is just make sure that you check them monthly. Even if you have a filter that should be replaced once a year, it's a good idea to go down there and check it monthly and keep that filter clean. Because if your system can't breathe, your house is going to be hot or cold.
All right. And it's one of those things where can you have too much filter? Because if you go into the home improvement store, wherever, there's a ton of filters. Obviously, you want to get the right size. But do people make mistakes by putting too much filter in or not having enough? What do you see, Brian?
Yeah, what we see is the biggest problem is people go to the store and they buy the filters that are 1 inch thick that are made out of a pleated material. And a lot of times what happens is those filters won't let enough air go through. So they do a good job of filtering, but not enough air can get through the system for the system to work properly. What we suggest is that if you only have a 1 inch slot, that you just get the Webby fiberglass filters. And unfortunately, they're getting harder to find. They're cheaper, and a lot of the stores want to sell the more expensive filters. Now, if you're lucky and you have a nice, thick, 5 or 6 inch slot for a filter, those you can run the tighter material, and that way you can get the better filtration and the good airflow that you're looking for. So if you have any questions about what filter to get, I suggest you call your heating and cooling company and ask them for advice.
And by the way, Brian Keene, owner of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, is joining us. And if you have a question about your HVAC system, by all means, give us a call, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Here at CCO, when the air conditioning is out, typically, what do you find? You mentioned filters. What could be some of the other issues, or does it just really run the gamut? Hopefully, it's just as simple as a recharge.
Yeah, you know, the recharge thing has changed a little bit in the last couple decades too. When a system has a leak, one thing I'd like the public to know is that you really should have that leak repaired before you refill the system. And that can be one of the most difficult things for us to do, is to find that leak, get it repaired, and get it filled back up. Those leaks can be hard to find. And that the refrigerant, or Freon, which is what a lot of people know it as, When that stuff leaks out, it's not as simple as just filling it back up. The technician that's there should be correcting a leak before they fill it up.
All right. Now, when it comes to the refrigerant, has that changed a lot over the years, Brian?
Not recently.
Okay.
Back in 1996, they came out with a more environmentally friendly version called 410A. Comes in a pink jug. The older stuff for air conditioning that's been around for 50 years, that comes in a green jug, and it's known as R22. And that's harder on the environment.
All right. Now, can you still use the R22? Is that still legal?
They can no longer build units that use R22, but you can still buy the product to refill your system. It's become very expensive. Most of the time when people have a leak with R22, that tells you that their system is very old. And a lot of times the people don't want to spend the money, and we wouldn't recommend spending the money to refill it with the old stuff. That would be a good time to take a look at replacing the system.
Now, service life, is the air conditioning, the central air conditioning unit, tied in a similar service life as a furnace, because ultimately they work together. You have that unit outside for the air conditioner, but the entire system kind of works together. When it's time to replace a furnace, do you generally replace the air conditioning unit as well?
It is a better idea to do that if you can afford it. Having a matched system has a lot of benefits. A lot of times when you buy them together at the same time, you can get a better price on the combined package. A lot of times you can get better efficiency by matching the system perfectly. As to where if there's years of gap in between when you purchase the furnace and when you purchase the air conditioner, sometimes all we can do is fit the things together as best as we can. They're not always a perfect match.
All right, Brian, what about cleaning an air conditioning unit? I've got a lot of neighbors that do things differently when it comes to that unit that sits outside the house. Some cover it, some completely wrap it up over the winter months. Some put a piece of plywood over the top. Over the years, I've never done anything. I've heard you just leave them alone and let them sit outside. They're designed to sit outside and don't bother.
I agree with you. I never cover mine. I don't put any plywood or anything over it. There are guys out there that just feel like they've got to do something, and I tell them that if you have to do something because you have a lot of seeds and things falling off of trees and leaves and everything that get inside there, then I would suggest taking a piece of plywood, setting it on top, and then just setting a brick on it. I would never suggest covering it completely with a tarp. The reason why is it traps the condensation and the moisture inside the unit for all those months. And it really causes everything inside to corrode a lot worse than if it just sat there in the elements.
All right. So what about the seeds, those darn cottonwoods and some of the other stuff that can get in there? Is that something a homeowner can easily do? Maybe take a hose to it and clean that outside unit?
Yes. A lot of the older air conditioners never had any metal covers or anything like louvered-type covers covering up their air conditioning coils. Those were easier to clean. I suggest just using a garden hose. You definitely don't need a lot of pressure, just a very light nozzle, and just hit it with the water and get that stuff to run off the side. The newer ones can be a little more complicated. Now they have guards on the outside of them to protect them from rocks and hail and stuff like that. And the problem is you've got to remove those guards before you wash it. To some people, that might not be difficult. To others, it may be more than they can handle.
All right. By the way, Brian Keene, good enough to join us on this holiday weekend, the owner of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. And, of course, as this Memorial Day heat wave sets in with highs in the 90s all around the region, I'm sure a lot of air conditioners have given up. I my daughter's room in one corner of the house, we need to keep her a little bit cooler. We have a supplemental air conditioner that supplements the central air conditioning in the house. Anything to be concerned about those window air conditioners that you've seen over the years?
Nothing to be concerned. I would say it's just the same rule of thumb as the rest of the air conditioners out there. They usually have a little filter that either pulls out and that you can rinse in the sink, or a foam filter that you can also take out and rinse. I suggest keeping those clean. And then, of course, that coil that faces the outside, it's a good idea to check that for cottonwood and dandelion seeds and things like that, just like any other air conditioner. When it comes to a window-type unit, it's pretty much the same rule of thumb. It's just smaller.
All right. And, Brian, I suppose you get on site and some of these places are wondering why some parts of the house are hotter than others, and maybe they need to spend a little time closing certain vents and managing the airflow in certain parts of the house. I know that's one of those things, oh, yeah, I've got to go downstairs and switch things around a little bit, because in the winter months I direct more warm air downstairs, and in the summer I want to direct more cool air upstairs.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. People that are listening, that's one of the best pieces of advice I can give you besides the air filters. That's keep your basement vents closed. All the cold air will end up dropping down in the basement all by itself. And if your ductwork was done correctly, you'll have some return airs in the basement that'll suck that colder, denser, heavier air out of the basement and dehumidify it. There's no need to worry about dehumidification in the basement. It will happen. And if you leave your vents open in the basement, the problem is you end up with a lot colder basement and a warmer upstairs than you probably want. And your electric bill will definitely be higher as well. In fact, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, Brian, I noticed that when we had that kind of roller coaster ride when it was warm and running the air, and then it got real chilly and we had to turn the heat on. I'm like, what's going on here? Why is it so cold? And I forgot to switch things out again.
Yeah. Do you have dampers at your house?
We do. We have an old damper system. Yeah, we have an old one that's disconnected. So I've just kind of got to do the manual damper.
Yep. Yeah, it's tough to do, you know, when you're switching back and forth between 45 degrees outside and those days that are in the upper 70s, if you get a lot of sunshine in your windows, you know, you might need air conditioning. It does make it tough, but I think we're well into air conditioning now.
Yeah, for sure, and for the foreseeable future. And once again, your guys are very busy indeed. It is 223. Now, eventually we're going to get dropped back down into the 80s, and it's one of those. If your air conditioner isn't maybe performing, is there anything homeowners can do to see if their air conditioner's maybe not? I mean, you know, as far as a simple test on how cold that air is coming out of the vents, you know, to get an idea that maybe things are going the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's a good question. So if you have a simple thermometer, even one that just sits around the house that you can move, it would be a good idea to set that by one of your vents and let it sit there for a while until the temperature stops dropping on there. And what you're typically looking for is about 20 degrees cooler air coming out of your vents than what your thermostat says. Now, that's not an exact science, but that's a good rule of thumb to go by, and it's not going to be perfect, but that'll at least tell you real quickly if your system's even functioning. Some people have a hard time when a system's just on the edge of working, being able to tell, you know, how cold that air is coming out. Depending on, you know, who you are and how you feel, whether or not it's coming out cold might feel differently to you. So using a thermometer to do that is the best way to do it. And that 20 degrees is a good rule of thumb.
All right. One other one we've brought up even during the heating season, Brian, running that fan on the furnace. It's not going to damage that fan, is it?
No, it definitely will not damage the fan to run it continuously. We suggest for sure in the summertime to run your fan continuously. It just helps keep that air mixed around the house, keeps the air temperature even between upstairs and downstairs and from one end of the house to the other. And the amount that'll help your air conditioner not run will definitely make up for itself in a small amount of electricity it will use.
Good enough to be joined by Brian Keene, the owner of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities area and the Rochester area. We'll continue with Brian in a moment. Here are our phone numbers. If you have a question about your air conditioning, by all means, give us a call, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. We'll go to the text line as well at 81807. That is 81807 here at CCO. Thanks so much for joining us. Ask the Expert Hour. Brian Keene joining us. He is the owner of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and the Rochester area. Phone lines are open at 651-989-9226. You can text 81807. And Brian, we talked about gently cleaning that outdoor condenser unit, if you will, and using a hose. Maybe a good idea to turn off the power if you're going to do that.
Yeah, I would definitely suggest turning off the power. Luckily, code requires that there's a disconnect box right outside that before you get out the water, you can reach in, unplug the disconnect, or turn off the switch. And then it's okay to go ahead and take your garden hose and gently rinse off the unit. Just a reminder, don't pressure. Definitely no pressure washers. I had a gentleman do that with a pressure washer once, and he had to buy a new air conditioner.
Yeah, because it can damage the fins, and really those fins are what dissipate the heat from the coolant, correct?
That's exactly right. If you bend those fins over, then the air can no longer get through them, which completely renders it useless.
All right, so be aware of that. Once again, recapping the maintenance you can do on a hot day and a hot weekend when your air is going to be running, get a fresh filter in there. That's probably number one, isn't it, Brian?
Yeah, the number one thing a homeowner can do to make sure that they're doing everything they can is to change that air filter and use the correct air filter.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got some folks waiting. Marty in Farmington, you're on with Brian Keene. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, good afternoon. Say, I've got a condo, and I have a magic pack, they call it. When the air conditioner turns on, the fan turns on, and then about 5 seconds later, the fan will shut off. And it won't turn on anymore. I was just kind of curious, no matter what I do on the thermostat or just turning it on and off, it doesn't turn back on. I was curious what that problem might be.
All right, Marty. What do you got, Brian? What do you think's going on there?
Hey, Marty. One guess that I would have would be that the system's overheating. It's possible that your condenser coil, which is the one that dissipates the heat to the outside, is dirty. In those magic pack systems, the condenser coil's in the back of the unit that faces the outside, and they actually get dirty on the inside of the coil, which makes it more difficult for you to tell if it's dirty. A lot of times what happens is that thing gets dirty, and then the unit gets too hot in just a few minutes of operation, and then it turns off, and it won't turn back on again until it cools off naturally from just sitting there. And that can be very frustrating. You're not going to get much cooling out of that system. That's my best educated guess.
Yeah, and is there any way to easily clean that, or how would you go about that, Brian?
Well, on that particular unit, you could probably try to get some compressed air and blow from the outside very carefully. That might not do the best job. You could try to spray with some water from the outside in. But what you're doing is you're actually trying to force the water through the coil to get the stuff on the back side there that you can't see to run down. Honestly, the best way to clean that is to actually pull the thing out. The whole unit is in a sleeve, and it usually requires a technician to do it. There's going to be some electricity that has to be disconnected inside. Then you slide the whole air conditioning unit right out. You could actually remove it and bring it out to your driveway if you wanted to and clean it off. A lot of times we remove those, bring them back to our shop, service them, and then bring them back to the person's house and reinstall it for them.
All right, and magic pack. I haven't heard that term before. What's that?
So a magic pack is a heating and cooling unit that's all in one package. They're really slick for apartment buildings, condos, things like that. They're pretty common. There's a lot of them out there, and it's basically a self-contained unit for both heating and cooling for a smaller dwelling.
All right. Very good. Quick break. We've got our weather. We'll tell you in a word. It's going to be hot for the next few days. Dan in Minneapolis, hang on the line. We'll get to you in a moment or two following that weather. Once again, it is our SC Expert Hour, and Brian Keene joining us. He's the owner of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area here on the CCO. 2:38, 22 minutes now in front of 3 o'clock. Pleased to be joined by Brian Keene, He is the owner of K&S Heating, Air, Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area. And their website, ksheating.com. Air conditioning, the big deal today. And we continue with Brian right now. Brian, let's go to the phones. Bring in Dan from Minneapolis. Dan, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hello there. Thanks for taking my call. The middle last night, the AC unit went completely out. Now the fan is still working, and I did a little bit of troubleshooting myself by circuit breaker downstairs, went outside and flipped that circuit breaker, and the fan is still working for the furnace, but my AC is not coming on.
Well, that could be a number of things. If the unit outside is not turning on, it could be a low voltage issue or it could be a high voltage issue. There's several things. If it were a high voltage issue, that it could be there's a contactor inside the unit that turns the unit on and off, basically switches between low voltage and high voltage. That contactor could have gone out. On hot days like today, there's another possibility that you might have a bad capacitor. The capacitor is what helps both the fan and the compressor start. If that thing goes out on you, which is very common on these hot days, that nothing will appear to work if that thing is out.
Yeah, and that is one of the items I on the outdoor unit, the compressor unit, I had the big fan, and that thing cranks a lot of air, and I had that go out, and of course the system's dead in the water.
Right. If your outdoor fan goes out, then likely your compressor will overheat within minutes, and then the whole thing will shut down. There's a whole list of things that it could be. Best thing to do is, you know, hope you can get somebody over there as quickly as possible.
All right, our number is 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. And Brian, this is just a good reminder, and we mentioned it at the top, and I know when we get that first cold snap and people turn on the furnace and it's not working, or we get that first heat wave and people turn on the air and it's not there, you guys get super busy. But, you know, it's true of so many things, vehicles, HVAC equipment. Preventative maintenance is a big deal.
Yeah, preventative maintenance is a really big deal. If you want to ensure, or at least give it the very best chance that you won't have any breakdowns on these hot days, I can't stress enough having somebody come out and check that unit early in the spring. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to make it to all of our spring checks because spring was so short.
Right.
It's hard to do a good job when it's, you know, 35 degrees outside when you're checking an air conditioner. And we just didn't have enough weeks in between the cold weather and the hot weather this year. So it's been tough for all of us HVAC companies to get everybody taken care of with their checks before summer hit here.
Does it hurt the system? This from our text line at 81807. If you have maybe a guest room, et cetera, that you don't use a lot, shut the door and close the vents to maybe get cool air in parts of the house that are occupied. Is that a problem for this system?
No, it's not a problem as long as you don't get carried away. Your system has to have enough airflow to operate, so you can't expect the entire airflow, the system, to blow through one duct or two ducts.
Right.
I mean, typically, you need an average-sized system. It's good to have about eight openings open. If you have a larger home, then it's going to be a greater number than that. But it's okay to shut down, like, a bedroom or two, you know, in order to get better cooling and to save some money in the other portions of the house. That's okay to do. Just don't expect to close off, you know, three-quarters of the house and cool one room. That won't work.
Ryan Keene joining us once again. He is the owner of K&S Heating, Air, Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. Ceiling fans, we have one in our bedroom. This time of year, we always have it on, circulating the air a little bit. Are ceiling fans helpful?
Yeah, I use my ceiling fans a lot year-round. In the summertime, I usually turn them up a couple notches on speed because I like the air blowing on me. But not only just that, they help circulate the air around the house. It helps get that hot air off the ceiling and into the return ducts where it can pass through the cooling system and help cool the house off. So ceiling fans are absolutely worth it. Not only do they blow on you, making you feel cooler, but they also help circulate the air around the house so it doesn't just, the hot air doesn't just settle on the ceiling.
All right, a quick follow-up to dehumidifiers. I have an old house. I live along the river up in the northern suburbs. It was built in the 50s, and I have a traditional basement. It's got a walkout, but I've always felt running a dehumidifier back in that laundry room and the utility room has been helpful. What do you think about dehumidifiers running in conjunction with your air conditioner?
I am more against dehumidifiers. The problem is they use up a lot of electricity.
Okay.
Your air conditioner, if set up properly and if your ductwork is done properly, you will get your basement dehumidified as well. The people that have really wet old basements, there are times where they would still need a dehumidifier. But usually you can get rid of that dehumidifier by changing a few things around the house. Having a estimator come over and kind of help walk you through that might help you get rid of that dehumidifier. The problem with the dehumidifier is the amount of electricity it uses. Most people tell me around $25-$30 a month is what it costs to operate that dehumidifier. And also, they generate a lot of heat, which in turn your air conditioner has to take back out of your house.
All right, so use those sparingly, and it probably speaks to maybe the fact that your air conditioning system's probably not set up properly.
Correct. You could solve the problem with a properly operating air conditioning system in conjunction with proper ductwork configuration.
All right, Brian, another one we hear when it comes to air conditioning is proper sizing of the unit for the house. Oh, I get a bigger air conditioner, it's going to cool things down a lot faster. That's not necessarily a good idea. When you install a new system, proper sizing is a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely important. We do get people sometimes that, you know, bigger is better, you know, bigger engine in their car, they like that better. You know, bigger air conditioner, that must be better too. But the problem is the faster you cool your house, the less you dehumidify your house. The slower you cool your house, the more you dehumidify it. So if you were to go with a very large air conditioner for what your house, compared to what your house needs, you'd cool it quickly, but you'd end up with a cool, clammy feeling house, which is going to make you feel hotter than if you had a nice dehumidified house. And, you know, we size these air conditioners so that they can do the job around 95 degrees when it's 95 degrees outside. So all those days that it's not 95 degrees, your air conditioner is already bigger than it needs to be, which means that it doesn't have as long a run cycles as it would on a 95 degree day, in turn, letting the humidity go up higher. So it is better to have the right size air conditioner. And nowadays we have variable speed air conditioners. We have two stage air conditioners, and we have systems that can control the fan differently, all to help dehumidification improvements in the house.
All right, here's a good one. I wonder how many times I have Googled this before, but if I do have a ceiling fan, how should it turn in the summer? I love this one. I have Googled this before. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, so again, you know, there's mixed feelings on that. I can tell you what I do. In the wintertime, I do like it to actually pull the air up. And that way the air just kind of splashes off the ceiling. And even when I do that, I still get a little bit of draftiness, but I know that I'm circulating the air. In the winter, ideally, you'd rather push the heat down from the ceiling as well. But by having it in reverse, you can usually move more air without feeling the cold air blowing on you. In the summertime, I would always blow the air downward just because the more air that blows on you, the cooler you're going to feel.
Yeah. And, the old Google, ceiling fan blade should rotate in a counterclockwise or forward direction to create cool downward airflow. So there you go. And that takes care of a couple of texts at the very least from our text line at 81807. Quick break. We've got more with Brian Keene once again, good enough to join us in our Ask the Expert Hour. He is the owner of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and Rochester here on the CCO. It is our Ask the Expert Hour. Pleased to be joined by Brian Keene, owner of K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electrical. We talked to him during the winter months about heating issues, and now here we are in the midst of our first heat wave of the summer, and Brian and his crews and all the HVAC guys are extremely busy right now. And Brian, that's probably the biggest word of advice. If you don't have air right now, it might be tough to get someone to come out.
Yeah, there's only so many people out there that repair furnaces and air conditioners, and there's a lot more people that need us when it's hot like this than we have, people to get it done.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We've got George in Minneapolis. George, you're on the air with Brian. Hello.
Hello, Brian.
George, what do you got?
I've got two central AC units, two furnaces, and the newer one, with the both AC units are about 14 years old, as is the furnace. And when I turn the thermostat down, I can hear the compressor start on the AC unit, and then I hear like a buzzing noise, like it's trying to start up the fan or something like that on the furnace. But no, the fan doesn't engage, and I don't know if it's really a fan problem or if it's an AC problem.
All right, George.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brian.
Sorry. My best guess is that you have a bad capacitor. On a lot of air conditioners, they have what they call a...
All right, we lost Brian. We'll have to get him back. His line dropped off, and we'll get Brian back here momentarily on CCO. By the way, it is Ask the Expert, and if you have a question for Brian, we have a few minutes left in the program, and we'll try and get to those. 651-989-9226. It is 651-989-9226. Once again, heating, air conditioning in the spotlight. Obviously, air conditioning season with 92 northwest winds at 8 miles an hour. We apologize, Brian. The line dropped for a moment. You are back, as you were saying.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think it's probably the capacitor. Those units have a dual capacitor a lot of the time. That helps the compressor and the outdoor fan both start. And if that capacitor goes out, you'll just likely hear a humming noise and nothing will start up. Again, there's other things it could be, but that would be the most common.
All right. By the way, we'll once again give you the website for Brian momentarily. This is another follow-up for someone. Their upstairs is warm. Their downstairs is unusually cool with the air conditioner running. Brian, is it as simple as going downstairs, closing those vents, and opening all the vents upstairs and just directing all the air upstairs with the idea that the cool air will filter downstairs?
That's exactly right. It's as simple as going downstairs and shutting all the vents, even if it's something you've never done in the past. I would suggest trying it. You're probably going to find out that your cooling system works a lot better than it used to, and you potentially have lower utility bills as well.
Yeah, and once again, it's just a habit I kind of got into because I grew up, my mom and dad had one of those splits that was built in the late 60s, early 70s when we moved up to Champlin in the early 70s. And we had to go that route because those splits, trying to get those cool in the summer way upstairs where my mom and dad and my youngest brother were, that was a challenge.
Yeah, I grew up in the same exact style of house. And that was something, my dad being an HVAC guy like myself, he'd say, well, go down and get all the vents closed before the air conditioning turns on. It was just something I learned to do at a young age and took for granted. But, now it's part of my profession, and reminding people of that every single day is important to me.
I know, Brian, we're tight on time. Let's recap what we've gone through. We won't be able to get to any more calls and texts, but we'll certainly have Brian back again as time allows yet this summer, this cooling season. But let's just once again, what can people do here and now today to hopefully, if their air conditioner is running, to keep it running?
If your air conditioner is running and you want to keep it running as good as possible, I would suggest keeping an eye on the outside of the air conditioner to make sure that it's clean, mainly free of any debris such as cottonwood, dandelion seeds, anything like that. A hose can take care of it. Also, go inside the house. Make sure all the vents in the basement are closed and all the other upstairs vents are open. And, of course, the air filter. Make sure that you're using the correct air filter, one that works well with your system, and make sure that you keep it clean. I would suggest checking it monthly, even if you don't have to replace it every month. That way you know that you're operating at the best efficiency possible.
All right, and if you don't have air right now, be patient because everyone's busy. All right, Brian, good to visit with you. Enjoy the holiday weekend. There he is, Brian Keene, K&S Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electrical, serving the Twin Cities and Rochester, ksheating.com. Thanks, Brian.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.